me back to since college with this whole idea of does God bless us? Does He curse us? How does God interact with us? Is He going to give me that treasure chest of gold? Or is He going to put an eternal curse on me? And so I'm fascinated by that whole idea. Next slide. Do we have the little changer? While you look for it. 1 Corinthians 12. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I was in college, and I was translating. We had a Greek final, and it was the final for my first year Greek. And first year Greek was known to break a lot of students, in which they changed major and went and did something else. Super difficult. I was going into the final with a C, a well-earned C, by the way. If I passed this final and did extremely well, I could bring it up to a B. And so I go into the final that day, and there were three sentences that we had to translate. We had never seen these sentences before. One was an easy sentence, one was a medium sentence, and one was a hard sentence. The easy sentence, no problem at all. The hard sentence was no match for me. But the medium was this sentence right here. And I had never quite seen this before. Jesus anathema. Jesus is accursed. Or, as it is word for word in the Greek, more a little bit harsher, Jesus be damned. I don't remember anywhere of seeing that, of reading about that, of Jesus being cursed in the New Testament. So as I'm going through it, I'm struggling. I'm struggling to put it together, the subject with the verb, and I put something down, and let's just say I made a C for the final of the class. But that stuck with me. Jesus be cursed. So what is a blessing? Well, in English, we use blessing a couple different ways. We use it as God's favor and protection. We use it as a prayer asking for divine favor and protection. A little bit different. Grace before a meal. When we say a blessing, we say a prayer, right? It's a beneficial thing for which one is grateful. We go, oh, I'm thankful for all of my blessings. Maybe you said that this week when you're thinking about all the things in which you're thankful for. Or it could be a person's sanction or support. When you go to get married, you might ask as a male for the father's blessing to have his daughter's hand. So what is a curse? Well, a curse is a solemn utterance intended to invoke a supernatural power to inflict harm or punishment on someone or something. That's my favorite. I like that. It's a cause of harm or misery. Or as we use it in the English, as a coarse or blasphemous word or phrase used to express anger or strong emotion. So like a dirty four-letter word. That's how it's used in English. We also... Oh, man. Clicker's a little different. Curse, though, is a little bit... Both of them are a little bit different that we see throughout the Bible. Typically, we get this idea within the New Testament. It's used as set apart from God. Something, and we see that in the Old Testament as well. that a curse is like the part of the meat sacrifice that is not good enough to be presented to God. It's separated from God. It's thrown aside. And it's the same thing in the New Testament where we get the idea of one not is cursed, but one who is damned, one who is completely and eternally separated from God. We are going to be in what is known as the blessing and curses passage throughout Deuteronomy. This is where things get really interesting. This is where we see it completely, where God presents both blessings and curses upon Israel. And so Moses and the Levitical priests said to all Israel, "Be silent, Israel, and listen. You have now become the people of your Lord today. Obey your Lord your God and follow his commands and decrees that I give you today." On the same day, Moses commanded the people, "When you cross the Jordan, these tribes shall stand on Mount Gerizim to bless the people: Simeon, Levi, Judah, Issachar, Joseph, and Benjamin. And these tribes shall stand on Mount Ebal to pronounce curses: Reuben, Gad, Asher, Zebulun, Dan, and Naphtali." I can't ever say his name. "The Levites shall recite to all the people of Israel in a loud voice: Cursed is anyone who makes an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of skilled hands, and set it up in secret. Then all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is anyone who dishonors their father or mother. Then all the people shall say, Amen. Cursed is anyone who moves their neighbor's boundary stone. And then all the people shall say, Amen." It's an interactive sermon where God splits his people half over here, half over here. And they are separated by miles. One of the mountains completely look lush and green, flowing with nature everywhere, and one of the mountains completely deserted, rocky, nothing able to grow. And the people are to stand with Moses in the middle, giving the decree to the people. And they will go back and forth with curses and blessings until all the people understand their role within Israel. Unfortunately, as Moses is presenting this, I think he expects it to be himself that's giving this. But as we know, Moses doesn't make it into the promised land. And so when Joshua comes into the land and they conquer their first group of people, the first thing they do is Joshua reverts back to what Moses told them. And they do exactly what God says. And he splits half and half. And he reads to the whole assembly everything that God had commanded, both blessings and curses, to make it very clear that God is the one who brought them into this land. Now, I'm not going to read through all of these, but I just kind of want to show you the difference. Here's Deuteronomy 28 starts the blessings. "If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all of his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. All these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey the Lord your God. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and all the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord, your God, will bless you in the land he is giving you." Now we go to the curses. I can't even read that. It's much longer. And it's not really supposed to... When we look at this, it's not really so we can go, "Oh, okay," and try to analyze it. The cursing that God puts forth is supposed to be so great that the people are sitting there and go, "Yeah, I don't want none of that. I'll take that one. I'll take the blessings. No, I don't want none of that curse." So there's just so much to the people that they get the idea that this is not what we want any part of. The blessings and curses within this passage, the blessing is God's favor and protection, in summary. And the curse is a cause of misery and harm. That's the definition we're going with. Now, while I was looking over this, I got excited because I saw something that I'd never seen before. So I'm going to share it with you. Genesis 2:9, the Lord made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. And in the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat from it, you will certainly die." The curse of Adam. To the woman, he said, "I will make your pains in childbearing very severe with painful labor. You will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To Adam, he said, "Because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all of the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you. And you will eat the plants of the field, and by the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. And since from it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you will return. Will he most certainly die? Yes, yes he will. Because now, back to the dust in which he was created, he will return. If you look through this carefully, there is something there. There is exactly the blessing and curses is not something just out of the blue that God is giving his people in Deuteronomy. But rather, it is a reversal of the curse that was set forth by Adam. That God was telling Israel, you messed up. You messed up in the garden. You ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We can't go back. We can't change that. Once what has been had cannot be completely undone. But I'm going to give you a chance. That if you do as I tell you, you walk in my ways, you do every little thing that I ask of you, that I will reverse that. That the land that I have cursed will no longer be cursed. That I will bless it and fill your storehouses, and that you will not need anything to survive and to thrive in the land that I am giving you. And I will walk with you. That you will have the temple. You will have the holies of holies. I will be with you. And we will walk together. And I will live amongst you. That this whole thing that we're getting at with the blessings and curses, it's not something new. It's setting forth back what was already there through God's grace and love for His people. Here's your second chance. But if you don't, the curse is going to continue and it's going to be bad. So there's three things. And that third one is something a little bit different. I want you to look at Genesis 12. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse you. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 22, the angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this, and you have not withheld your son, your only son, I will surely bless you and make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as the sand on the seashore. Your descendants will take possession of the cities of their enemies, and through your offspring, all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. Exodus 19. Then Moses went up to God, and the Lord called him from the mountain and said, this is what you are to say to the descendants of Jacob and what you are to tell the people of Israel. You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt and how I've carried you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now if you obey me fully and keep my covenant, then out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Although the whole earth is mine, you will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words you are to speak to the Israelites. And lastly, Isaiah 49, and now the Lord says, He who formed me in the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob back to him and to gather Israel to himself. For I am honored in the eyes of the Lord, and my God has been my strength. He says, it is too small a thing for you to be my servant, to restore the tribes of Jacob and bring back those of Israel I have kept. I will also make you a light for the Gentiles, that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth. Skip over to the New Testament. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, but glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile, for God does not show favoritism. Why is it so important for all of Israel to follow all of God's commandments? Because Israel was the example in which all other nations would come to know God. That through Israel, the Messiah would come. And through the Messiah, he would save all people on the cross. Israel was to be that blessing, or they were to be the curse for all people. Israel brought life or death to all mankind. They became the blessing and the curse. And so instead of just God declaring, here is my blessing and here is my curse, it was much more than that. Israel themselves became that blessing and they became that curse. Because it was through them that all people shall know that God is God. So what is a blessing and a curse? If that's true for Israel, then what is true for us? What is a blessing and a curse? It's you. You are that blessing. You are that curse. When people talk about what they're thankful for and they go, well, I'm thankful for all my blessings. Are you included within that blessing? Like a little child that when they pray, they say, thank you, God. And they go through and they start naming every little thing and person that they're thankful for. Is your name included in that? When your coworkers think of who their blessings are, what helps them come to work every day, does your name come up? Or are you rather a curse, a thorn in their side? Just as Israel was called to be a blessing and a curse to all nations. Or rather, a blessing and not a curse. We too are called to be blessings to all people. Because within the church, within Christ, blessings and curses aren't just simply something that God sets upon us. Yes, we are blessed to follow Christ. We are blessed to partake in eternal life and the goodness and the love and the grace that God has. And if we fail to do so, yes, we do take on that curse. But it's more than that. It's who we become, because we become that blessing and we become that curse for the world around us. We're gonna end a little bit differently. If everybody would stand up, please. And before our closing song, what I would like you to do is read this with me. We shall stand for the Lord, the reading of the Lord's word, and then we shall say, "Thus said the Lord, Amen." And I want you to read the words and decide today to renew your covenant with God. Are we to be that blessing to all people? Are we to be a curse to those that are around us? "See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to Him, and to keep His commands, decrees, and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away, and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Lord to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth as witnesses against you that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you and your children may live, and that you may love the Lord your God. Listen to His voice. Hold fast to Him. For the Lord is your life, and He will give you many years in the land He swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Thus said the Lord, Amen."
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt, yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood